The British royal family, crowns on the outside, chaos on the inside. On the podcast Palace Intrigue, we cover the stories behind the headlines every day with a dozen new episodes every week. Meghan and the controversy that never quits, William and Kate quietly waiting for their turn on the throne, and former Prince Andrew, well, always a story unto himself. It's smart, it's sharp, and a little snarky. It's Palace Intrigue. And when you're ready to go deeper into the royal verse, we have King William, a speculative fiction podcast. Think The Crown, but set in the future. And another series, Crown and Controversy, the stories that continue where TV's The Crown ended. Join us for daily royal news with context, clarity, and just a hint of mischief. Palace Intrigue, wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, everybody, it's Tuesday somewhere, and we hope to see you listening to the Giant Bombcast. We're Independent Games Media, and you can find us hooligans every Tuesday discussing the newest video game releases or whatever we're currently into.
We also discuss all the biggest stories in the world of games. Collectively, we have decades of experience covering the biggest companies and sneaky little indie darlings, but we also have years of experience being a cool hang. The Giant Bombcast is like listening to your friends goof and gab about the games and stories that matter to them and you.
Giant Bombcast, available on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you listen to podcasts.
But here we sit in 2026, and we are talking yet again about the Shield. And we are now looking at a main event for SummerSlam, or one of them anyway, where we are going to see Roman Reigns defending the World Heavyweight Championship against Seth Rollins. 14 years after the formation of the Shield, the fall of the Shield, they all go their separate ways. We are still talking about Roman Reigns and Seth Rollins, and they are still fighting over world championships here in WWE. It just feels to me like the more things change, the more they stay the same. I, looking at this King of the Ring tournament, we were going into it, had a lot of excitement about the possibility, right? The possibility that maybe we could end up with something like Obafemi winning King of the Ring and challenging for the world championship. But it seemed like there was a very real possibility that we could end up with Roman Reigns and Seth Rollins, because there were rumors earlier in the year that that was going to be the WrestleMania main event. And that was the WrestleMania main event that WWE wanted to do this year. Roman Reigns and Seth Rollins. Now, Rollins' injury last year threw all of their plans out of whack. And so we went through about a gazillion different potential WrestleMania matches that they were going to do this, they wanted to do that, but this person got hurt, and on and on and on. And so we ended up what we ended up with this year. And so I kind of looked at it and said, realistically, okay, if you want to set up Roman Reigns and Seth Rollins, you've got 14 plus years worth of history to draw from, right? It is certainly a story that is rich with history between the two of them. Seth Rollins also, who made the same point in his promo tonight, did not lose the World Heavyweight Championship last year, right? He was stripped of the title because of an injury, and therefore he never technically got beat for the belt. So the natural story when he eventually came back was chasing for the title that he never lost. All of that makes sense. So when I saw Bron Breakker and I saw Seth Rollins on opposite ends of the bracket in the King of the Ring tournament, naturally I said, well, if they're going to set up Roman and Seth for SummerSlam, they could just build to a Seth Rollins Bron Breakker final in the King of the Ring tournament. They could blow off their feud there in a match that has big stakes on the line, because we know that the winner of the King of the Ring, they've established that the winner of the King of the Ring and Queen of the Ring will go on to challenge for the championship of their choosing at SummerSlam. And so it all seemed to align and make sense, right? Predictable, sure. But that would have made a whole lot of sense. Obafemi being in the King of the Ring, the issues with Brock Lesnar coming back to screw Obafemi out of the crown, sure, predictable. But I was looking at it and going, okay, you got to do part three. That's how you get to it. You have him screw Oba out of the crown. Oba now is just infuriated. You've taken something away from him that was within his grasp, and you blow it off at SummerSlam. And if that's how they wanted to set up this SummerSlam card, you know what? That would have made a lot of sense to me. Instead, they went a completely different way with it, where they bounced Seth Rollins out of the first round, and they bounced Bron Breakker out of the first round. all in the name of doing a steel cage match between them on that show that we saw on Saturday in Riyadh. They got bounced out of this tournament early. And so they ended up building to a final between Obafemi and Jey Uso, which is a final that very few, I will say nobody asked for, right? There's always someone out there, but I'm going to say nobody asked for a final this year of Obafemi and Jey Uso. Now, it could have gone a very different way on Saturday. I'm very happy that it didn't. I'm very happy that Obafemi beat Jey Uso and he won the crown and not the other way around. But I'm watching this show tonight and I see Obafemi out there with Brock Lesnar, who returned on the show tonight. We were all waiting for him to show up during the tournament. He waited until after the tournament was over to finally come back. And by the time their segment was over at the top of the show, we had a major match made for SummerSlam this year. It will be Brock Lesnar and Obafemi Part 3 in Minnesota at SummerSlam inside Hell in a Cell. Huge match. And a great way to blow off a feud. It feels like this is a feud worthy of a Hell in a Cell blow-off. I don't even remember the last time we had a Hell in a Cell match. It's got to be at least a couple of years. And it's been even longer than that since we've seen Brock Lesnar in one. Obafemi is having himself quite the year. Debuts on the main roster, beats Brock Lesnar in his first WrestleMania, wins the King of the Ring his first time out. Now he's already getting his first Hell in a Cell match, right? Things are progressing nicely for Obafemi. That's a major match to do on that show. And it's probably going to be a great match, too. They haven't spent too much time in the ring together, but the two matches they've had have been just smash mouth, nonstop, you know, exciting, right? Finisher spam in the last match, sure. But they've been fun, right? And I have no doubt in my mind that Hell in a Cell is going to be fun as well. Thank you, Punk and Drew. Okay, so 2 years ago. That was the last time we had a Hell in a Cell. What a fucking Hell in a Cell match that was, too. Punk and Drew. That was 2024. Thank you. So I like I'm fine with the idea of them doing a Hell in a Cell match. That's a major attraction. That's going to sell some tickets, right? Which is the name of the game still. May not be the most important metric anymore like it used to be, but you still want to sell tickets to these shows, right? Tickets is still a major metric when it comes to how well business is doing. That will sell some tickets at SummerSlam. But in order to do this, Obafemi had to take his guaranteed championship match at SummerSlam, which is the second biggest event of the year. They're going to have a big stadium show, right? 50,000 people, probably not quite, but let's just say 50,000 people. And he's taking his championship match, based on what we heard tonight, and the announcers backed this up, and he is voluntarily putting his guaranteed shot aside, I guess for a rainy day. And instead, it's more important to him to squash this beef with Brock. And so instead of a title match, he's going to do Hell in a Cell. And I could sit here and tell you how ridiculous this sounds, of course, because we just sat through an entire fucking month of tournament matches to build to a finals where the winner would be challenging for a world championship at SummerSlam. And now in this case, that will no longer be happening. So is that stupid? Yes, it's very stupid. What makes it even dumber, though, if you want to really kind of think about this logically, is the fact that you have a two-night SummerSlam. Now, I'm not saying that a perfect scenario would be to have Oba go in there and wrestle twice, but you have Obafemi saying, you know what, we're going to put that on the side. I gotta squash this. I gotta take care of this guy once and for all, right? On a show where you have two nights. So you don't really have to put your championship match aside. And maybe you look at it and you go, yeah, but you know what? He's going to be getting ready for Brock Lesnar inside Hell in a Cell. He's not going to be in the right frame of mind. You know, if he wants to win a world championship, you've got to be laser focused on the champion. It's like, okay. But you also have a show coming up before SummerSlam. Since now everything's out the window, apparently, and you can cash in your title shot anytime you want to. They do have an important show coming up at Madison Square Garden in a few weeks where, yeah, logically, if he wanted to, he could kind of say, hey, let me get my title match on that show. And I understand the reasons why that's not going to happen, because there's going to be a lot of big names, including Brock Lesnar, who are probably not going to be on that show. But it just, you know, it makes it, you look at it and it just makes you shake your head. Why did they even have Obafemi in this tournament to begin with? If we were just going to get to the same place anyway, where we're getting Oba in a non-title situation against Brock Lesnar, which we all knew we were going to get, and Roman Reigns against Seth Rollins. they were in the tournament. You could have built the tournament to a finale that Seth Rollins wins, and that's how he gets his championship match at SummerSlam. He chooses Roman, and here's why. And Seth went out there tonight in the main event segment when he confronted Roman and cut the mother of all promos. He laid it all out for the entire world, the entire history between them. It all goes back to 2014 when he put that chair in Roman's back. And every time in a major match of any significance for any championship, when these two found themselves in the ring together, or even not for a championship, but in the night one main event last year of WrestleMania, Seth Rollins every single time has proven to be the itch that Roman Reigns cannot scratch. He has been a thorn in this man's side. He has been a pain in this man's ass. And so Roman Reigns is in the same situation that Seth Rollins is in, where they're closer to the end than the beginning, and this may be their last shot. This may be their final dance together. Of course, this is WWE, so I'm sure it won't be. But this could be the last opportunity that Roman has to finally put this man down, the one guy that he has not been able to get rid of, the one man he has not been able to figure out. Right? It's a simple story. It makes sense. Like I said, there's a lot of history there, and I'm sure they're going to go out there and they're going to have a really good match. But I just cannot shake this feeling that we just sat through a King of the Ring tournament, and King of the Ring is near and dear to me, and maybe it shouldn't be because, you know, there's been a lot of crap over the years when it comes to King of the Ring, you know, poor tournaments, poor finals. It's not always great. But I've been a big fan of King of the Ring since the moment they brought it to pay-per-view back in 93. And I love when they brought it back with that stipulation that the winner gets a championship match at SummerSlam, right? It's very similar to the Rumble. The Rumble winner gets to go on to the main event of WrestleMania. And so now, I mean, it's like everything's up in the air now. I mean, hell, what's stopping the Royal Rumble winner from doing the same thing and saying, you know what, I think I could get my championship match some other time. I got bigger business to deal with this guy over here. It's just preposterous. It's just preposterous. So Obafemi will not be challenging for a championship at SummerSlam. Roman Reigns will defend his title against Seth Rollins. Those were the two major matches that were confirmed for SummerSlam. We already had one confirmed the other night. Io Sky made her choice instantly. Night of Champions, she said, Liv Morgan, who she just beat, I'm coming after you, and I want that Women's World Championship. So we have three matches now that are confirmed for SummerSlam, with a fourth that is likely to happen, because we got an update on the show tonight. For those of you who may have missed it, they shot an angle on social media after Night of Champions on Saturday, where Gunther confronted Nick Aldis in the back, the general manager of SmackDown. He was very upset about what happened, and Gunther dropped an F-bomb on him. They had to be pulled apart. Nick Aldis is on administrative leave. So for the foreseeable future, Adam Pearce is going to be handling both Raw and SmackDown. He will be handling the GM duties for both shows, which can only mean one thing. Why would Nick Aldis be placed on administrative leave? Because he's finally going to wrestle. And I'm sure he's been waiting a very long time for this opportunity, probably since the moment he put pen to paper and signed with WWE. He's wanted to get in the ring. He's a wrestler. He wants to wrestle. And it feels like he's finally going to probably, you know, have his chance to do so at SummerSlam against Gunther. But boy, I mean, you look at where Gunther was at the beginning of this year, and if this is going to be what they have in mind for him at SummerSlam, what a fall.
Killers don't just take lives. They reshape everything they left behind. A quiet back road, a busy stretch of highway, a house that once felt safe, now a shrine to everything that went wrong. Across Texas, deserts, fields, and bayous keep their secrets buried, but not forever. From the creators of Gone Cold comes Of Hell, Texas True Crime, a podcast about the state's most depraved killers and the scars they left on every town, every family, every mile marker they touched. Stories that ask one burning question: were there more victims? Some folks aren't just from hell, they're of it. Of Hell, Texas True Crime. Subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts.
What a fall off for this guy from the beginning of the year. By the way, you know, I'm mentioning all this championship stuff. Sami Zayn is the new WWE champion. He may well be out there in the middle of the ring in Atlantic City right now, because the reason Raw aired early tonight, 6 p.m. start, is because they're taping SmackDown. As we speak, SmackDown is in progress because they want to give all the talent off for July 4th at the end of the week. So they're taping SmackDown right now. We had Jey Uso, who lost in the King of the Ring fight. And by the way, before I even go on, can I address the people that I saw in my mentions before I went live who were floating the idea that, well, since Oba is foregoing his championship match for now, then the person who should get the championship match at SummerSlam is the runner-up. It's the person who lost to Oba Femi at SummerSlam. And I'm like, are you out of your fucking mind? Like, why would you even suggest that? Why would you even put that out into the world? Why would you put that out into the atmosphere? Nobody wants to see that. It was bad enough, the prospect that Jey Uso is going to win King of the Ring and then challenge Roman or challenge Cody at SummerSlam. Jey Uso lost. And there are people who are suggesting, well, they should have just gone with Jey anyway because he was the runner-up. So Jey Uso will get a title match after having lost in the King of the Ring. Holy shit, can we please put this shit to bed? But I bring up Jey Uso because Jey told Jacob Fatu tonight on the show that Sami Zayn is the new WWE champion, and so Jacob's going to SmackDown to deal with the Solo Sikoa problem. And Jey said, you know what, I think I'll be there too. I'm going to confront Sami because I think I should be next in line for a shot at the championship. Can you imagine? They end up getting what they want anyway. Oba Femi was in the tournament. Here's what I think happened here. I have a theory about this. Of course, they could have avoided all of this by just not putting Oba in the King of the Ring to begin with. But my theory about this is they put him in the King of the Ring. They did not want to beat him, right? They wanted to crown Oba Femi as the King of the Ring. But they didn't want to give him a championship match just yet. Maybe they want to save it for WrestleMania. Maybe they want him to marinate a little bit more. So how do we do this? How do we give him a win and crown him king, but not give him the title shot? Well, here you go. They came up with a way to do it. And instead, we may be looking at a situation potentially where Oba is not getting a title shot at SummerSlam, but Jey Uso is. Now, do I think that Jey Uso will be the one challenging for the WWE title at Summer? I sure as fuck hope not. I don't. Maybe they would do something like Jey and Sammy on a Saturday night's main event. I don't see that being the SummerSlam match, but even the idea of it is just so fucking ridiculous to me. The thought didn't cross my mind watching this, knowing that they were taping television in this building for both shows, that Sami Zayn would come out after Raw ended, come out on SmackDown and put out some sort of open challenge where Brock Lesnar was in the same fucking building. Don't think that thought didn't cross my mind for a moment. But then I thought to myself, is Brock Lesnar really going to come out for the opening segment on Raw and hang around for that long? He's already home. I'm sure he's already home by now. He was already home before Roman Reigns hit the ring for the closing segment on the show tonight. I did have a thought, though, of actually to go back to Gunther and Aldis for a second. Gunther is still, calling himself the Career Killer. This may be the one and only match. If they do this match, this may be the one and only match that Nick Aldis has. And they may have Gunther kill his career, his one match in WWE. Those are the big developments on the show, but there was more that happened, and we get to talk about it. This is your Monday Night Raw review for the final time in the month of June. It is June 29th, and now that I say that date out loud, do you know what happened on this date in 1998? Right in the thick of the Attitude Era? This was a big deal. This was a big Raw on June 29th. I'm pretty sure it was 1998, the night after the King of the Ring, when Kane beat Austin to win the championship. On Raw 24 hours later, Kane's run came to an end. Sami Zayn better be taking notes. He better make himself scarce on SmackDown tonight. But on this night, was it 28 years ago? Steve Austin beat Kane to win back the WWE Championship, and the building went wild. I remember there being a sign. That was in the Gund Arena in Cleveland. And I know that because there was a person holding a sign in the crowd that said, "Send help. The Gund is on fire." And indeed, the Gund was on fire. Atlantic City was not. Definitely not. Atlantic City was not on fire tonight for this show. Like and subscribe. Super chats are open. Thank you for joining me a little bit earlier than usual here tonight to the 1,200 plus and growing on a Monday night. I appreciate you guys. Super chats are open as well. And we have a little bonus goal going in the chat. We're almost halfway there, which is awesome. And we're going to be doing Be the Booker, possibly, depending on what the wheel says here. I'll bring the wheel up here in a second. I did want to show you guys one thing before we put the wheel up. I want to put this photo up on the screen. I noticed this during Raw. This popped up on my timeline. This is not AI or Photoshopped. That is a photo that John Cena posted on his X account, and I assume maybe also his actually probably not on his Instagram, but he posted this on his X account. That is his doctor. His doctor that has helped him regrow his hair, which is a little odd because in this photo, as you can see, John Cena is bald. And apparently he's having whatever this next procedure is in his hair journey. I guess it required him to go bald for it. I have not seen bald Cena, I don't think, since the prototype days in OVW. So it was a little jarring seeing this image. But I'm looking at this and I said to myself, I go, you know, this is not a bad look. He should have gone bald for the heel run last year. We could have gotten bald John Cena as a heel. I don't know why he didn't think of it then. But anyway, so this is what John Cena looks like right now. And I'm sure soon he'll have a brand new head of hair. But in the meantime, you can enjoy bald John Cena. You thought it was AI, says Isaiah. I thought so too, until I saw that it came from John Cena himself. All right, let's bring up the wheel here. See what we're spinning for tonight. How many likes do we need to do Be the Booker? No. We got to give this a manly spin. We got to give it a real spin. There we go. What are we looking at here? We're looking at 600. That's what we're looking at. All right. We're looking at 600 likes. We are at 318. Can we do it? Can we pull it out? You guys can make that happen. Thank you, by the way, for hanging out with me on Saturday for the Night of Champions review. I thought we covered a lot of ground there and had a lot of fun. So I thank you for that. Ricky says, might cut my hair bald. Well, you don't cut your hair bald. You shave your head bald. And I'm not going to give you advice one way or the other. You do whatever makes you happy. So after highlights from Night of Champions open the show tonight, Obafemi, the King of the Ring, strutted his way down to the ring to open things up here tonight. And he said he got a great reaction from the crowd in Atlantic City. And he said, oh, wait, we have an update here. We have breaking news. Breaking news from Scorpion Deathlock in the chat. Forbidden Door has just ended. Okay, great. I was wondering if it was over yet or not. Apparently, Forbidden Door just ended. It just went off the air. Thank you, Scorpion Deathlock, for the update. It's good to know. Oba said that that's a reaction that is befitting of a ruler, but now the fans have to give him a reception befitting of a king. And so they did. He said destiny is not done with him yet, though. He has a choice to make. But before he can make that choice, we heard Brock Lesnar's music. And I thought to myself, boy, this escalated quickly. They're going right to Final Jeopardy here. Out comes Brock Lesnar. He's got Paul Heyman with him. We have not seen Paul Heyman since he was speared through the barricade by Bron Breakker. Or technically, we haven't seen him since he sat down with Chris Van Vliet. He looked pretty good in that interview. That was only a few weeks ago, although I don't know when they recorded that. So he circled the ring, as he usually does. He climbed inside, and he gave Oba a very happy, sarcastic intro as the new king. He was very open and honest here in this segment. He said the most honest thing that he's probably ever said. He told Oba, he goes, he hasn't watched the show. He said, I apologize, but I haven't watched the show. But he congratulated Oba. And he also pointed out that he too won King of the Ring once before. And Paul tells him that Oba has a big decision to make. Now, first of all, can you blame Brock for not watching the show? He's admitted this on the actual television show before. This is not the first time that Brock Lesnar has gone on TV and said, I don't watch the show. I appreciate the honesty. I do. I actually am quite envious of him. But Brock is not the one who has to sit here every single week and talk about this and dissect it and analyze and discuss with all of you. Brock Lesnar can't be bothered with any of that shit. But because he doesn't watch the show, he's been brought up to speed on things by Paul Heyman. Paul keeps him in the loop. And Paul tells him that Oba has a big decision to make. He also tells him that Oba has been calling him names. So, for example, when he's not here, Paul tells him that Oba is calling him a coward. He calls him a bitch. He also tells him that he cuts a great promo, which he never really could, but that's why he's got Mr. Heyman over here. Funny enough, I actually thought that this was one of the best promos Brock Lesnar ever cut. For a guy who came out on television tonight and admitted that he can't cut promos, I thought this was one of the better Brock Lesnar promos from start to finish. He goes, but Oba, you know what they say. Talk shit, get hit. And he didn't hit him. He kicked him. He kicked him low. He kicked him in the dick. Brock Lesnar knows all about that. Actually, last time he was in the Hell in a Cell, probably was with The Undertaker. That was during their feud where Undertaker was just going around dick kicking him left and right. So he kicked him in the crotch, and then he picked him up and he dropped him with an F5. And then Lesnar left the ring, and Heyman was talking to him outside, and Heyman just told him, now that was a great promo. And Brock smiled and said, thank you. And the two of them shook hands. That was great. So they were going to leave. Oba, though, holding his groin, he grabbed the microphone. He stood back up. He said, this is what Brock always does. He shows up, he F5s, and he leaves. And you said I called you names behind your back. Well, guess what? You're in front of me, and you're still a bitch. So here's the deal. We can play cat and rat forever, or we can settle the score. Me and you, one-on-one, Oba Femi versus Brock Lesnar at SummerSlam. What's it going to be? And Brock said he accepts, but there's one condition. SummerSlam, Minneapolis, Hell in a Cell. And I'm like, whoa. Hold on here. Been a while since we've gotten one of those. Last time we got one, it was one of the best Hell in a Cell matches this company's ever done. They got some big shoes to fill. Now, after the break, I'll just lump all this together here. After the break, Heyman was with Adam Pearce in the back, and he was putting over what a big attraction he just delivered to him for SummerSlam. You got to sell so many tickets with this. And Pearce said, yeah, well, I would have liked to have just gotten a heads up, at least. He was upset. Austin Theory showed up. He was shocked to see Heyman back. Apparently, Heyman wasn't returning his calls. Heyman wasn't returning his text messages. I wouldn't either if Austin Theory was texting me nonstop. So he was just very surprised to see him there. Now, Theory was the only member of the Vision, not named Paul Heyman, who was actually on the show tonight. Bron Breakker was not there. Logan Paul was not there. Bronson Reed was not there. This is what the Vision has been reduced to. Can you blame Paul Heyman? Paul Heyman, he's got one foot out the door. He doesn't need the Vision anymore. The Vision is going the way of Curtis Axel and Cesaro and Ryback in terms of Paul Heyman guys. All right, you can see the writing on the wall. Heyman doesn't need this. He doesn't want anything to do with this anymore because the Vision more or less doesn't exist anymore. This week's episode is sponsored by ExpressVPN. If you try to travel the world without your passport, you're not going to get very far. I would advise against it. Watching TV without ExpressVPN is basically the same thing. Streaming services like Netflix only show you a tiny fraction of their massive content library when you should be getting access to all of it for what you pay every month. Netflix hides content from you based on your location. ExpressVPN lets you change your online location so you can control where you want Netflix to think you're located. They have servers operating in more than 100 countries in all 50 United States, so you can gain access to literally thousands of new shows and movies and never run out of stuff to watch. And it's not just Netflix. It works with other streamers too, like Disney Plus. ExpressVPN is the best VPN. You know why? Because it won't cost you a small fortune to use. In fact, plans start at just $3.49 a month. That works out to be 12 cents a day. It's also easy to use. You just open up the app, you tap one button to change your location, and you're done. And it works on all your devices, including your phone, your tablet, your laptop, smart TV. You know, a little while back, I was watching Pulp Fiction on Netflix in Brazil. Except I wasn't really in Brazil. Netflix thought I was in Brazil. That's a damn good movie, by the way. I had not seen it in many years. Still the best Tarantino movie. But again, it was super easy. I just opened the ExpressVPN app. I selected Brazil as my country. I picked a server, tapped one button to connect, and then I refreshed Netflix, and boom, there it was. Takes hardly any time at all, so you can spend more of your time actually watching the content that you want to see. So be smart. Stop paying full price for streaming services and only getting access to a fraction of their content. Get your money's worth at expressvpn.com/solomonster. Don't forget to use my link at expressvpn.com/solomonster to get up to 4 extra months of ExpressVPN. But Haman said, you didn't know I was here. Well, now you do. He just walked away. He sounded very annoyed with Austin Theory. And Pierce then excused himself because he spotted Obafemi off in the distance. So, yeah, you should go back to Haman. That's the next step. Haman's going to be on bended knee begging Roman Reigns to please take me back, take me back. Pierce walks over to Obafemi. And he asked him, he goes, I want to make sure I heard this right. Like, are you sure that this is what you want? And Oba said, yes. He said, the title will always be there, but I need to end things with Lesnar. Me and Brock, Hell in a Cell. And so since then it's been made official, and they're going to have a Hell in a Cell, non-title, obviously, Hell in a Cell match at SummerSlam. So Obafemi is foregoing his championship match on that show to finish the feud once and for all with this man. Again, even though SummerSlam is 2 nights, even though there's another major show, kind of major, between now and then, there are other opportunities between now and then, if not that weekend, for him to collect on his championship opportunity. He is going to do what nobody else has ever done. He basically, it was very much like the Rock and Cody thing from a couple of years ago, where Cody was willing to voluntarily give up his guaranteed championship match at WrestleMania, which he earned by winning the Royal Rumble, in order to step aside and allow The Rock to take his place. Which, to believe Nick Khan, was the plan all along. Everything went exactly according to the way that we wanted it to, because we're all geniuses. Look at the big brain on these guys. So basically, we have sort of a version of that here. Obviously, this is going to be a very big match on that show. I think it's going to be a great match. I don't know if it's going to be Brock Lesnar's final match. I'm sure some people will look at this and go, well, this is potentially a much bigger deal, right? To be able to go down as the man who, you know, retired Brock Lesnar. After what we saw at WrestleMania, though, you know what? It's going to take a lot to convince me that Brock really would be winding it down at SummerSlam. There's been nothing said about that. I don't know if that might be a stipulation that gets added to it. If I don't beat you, then I don't deserve to be doing this anymore, and I'm going to walk away, right? They could still add something to the match. But anybody who's talking about the possibility of this being Brock's last match, it's all just speculation. And it all goes back to John Cena's comment that he made when he was interviewed by CVV last year. We don't know if this is going to be Brock's last match or not. But it's going to be big either way. I don't like how, in this case, for this year, it has rendered... pointless might be too strong of a word. I am left to assume that Obafemi will still have a guaranteed championship match whenever he wants it. Like, in 6 months, if he shows up on Raw one night and says to Adam Pearce, hey, you know what? I think it's about time I get that title match that I earned by winning King of the Ring, then they may have to make a championship. I don't know how this is going to work now. I don't know if they know for sure how this is going to work. I'm assuming he's not foregoing the title shot. He's foregoing it at SummerSlam. So it's not completely pointless if that's how it works out, because he would still have that in his back pocket. But to me, for now anyway, it really does make King of the Ring just seem kind of pointless and trivial. And like, we just sat through a month of matches that were building to the big finale to find out who was going to be the guy. And now it's just rendered meaningless for now. And Seth Rollins just steps in and gets a World Heavyweight Championship match anyway. And then, you know, Sami Zayn will be defending his title against Cody or whoever it's going to be on the other side. That I don't like. It marginalizes King of the Ring, at least for the time being anyway, in my eyes. That I don't like. And I just think it was probably the best way to go, but only because they booked themselves into this situation. Like, there are other ways they could have gone about this that I'm not too hot on. I might have ended up making the same decision, you know, given the conditions that we were dealt with here, but they booked themselves into this situation. It didn't have to be this way. You could have had a coherent King of the Ring tournament where the winner is going to SummerSlam to challenge for the title, and it could have been Seth Rollins, and yes, you would have had people who would be like, why is Seth winning King of the Ring? What does he need King of the Ring for, right? You're never going to be able to please everybody, but at least in that situation, it would have made more sense. They did this to themselves. You know, they wanted to give Oba the big win, but they weren't quite ready to go all the way with him. And so this is what we ended up with here. Now, Seth Rollins, it felt to me when this segment was over, like, well, we're going to get Roman and Seth. And obviously we got our answer at the end of the show. On the SmackDown side, it's a little more unpredictable, and I like that coming out of Night of Champions. We don't know for sure what the match is going to be on the SmackDown side at SummerSlam or which night it's going to be. It could still be the Night 2 main event, especially if Punk were to be involved. Where's CM Punk going to factor into this? Do we get Sammy and Cody? Does Sammy even make it to SummerSlam as the WWE champion? I hope so. I hope he does. You know, I think it would be ridiculous if he didn't. But it's a little harder to predict ultimately what that match is going to be. Maybe we'll find out before the night is over. Maybe before the night is over, you know, on SmackDown this week, which will be airing on Friday. Maybe we'll have our answer on that. Now, after this, we had Rey Mysterio one-on-one with Ethan Page. Page hit a side suplex onto the top turnbuckle, just dropped him down. Rey fell to the floor outside. After a break, Ethan charged at him, got low-bridged out to the floor. Rey followed with that sliding splash that he does. Page mowed him down later with a big boot and a power slam for a near fall. And Ethan picked up Mysterio on his shoulders in a fireman's carry position. Got up to the middle rope. Rey was able to counter out into an avalanche hurricane rana, 619, frog splash. That's all she wrote. And Rey Mysterio picks up the win, because that's really a win that he needed. Yeah, it's bad enough that Bron Breakker lost the feud to Seth Rollins. And we know why, because they were setting up Seth to challenge Roman. So it made sense that Seth would get the win. It's not ideal, though. In a perfect world, it wouldn't have come down to that, and Bron Breakker would have been able to win the feud. So it's bad enough we saw that on Saturday, and now I'm watching Ethan Page lose to Rey Mysterio. And there's no shame in losing to Rey Mysterio, but we're trying to build up some new faces here on this show. I could only hope that we get a little win streak going for Ethan, because I think he could be a big player on this show this year. Hopefully he can string together some wins. I think last week he beat Dragon Lee. I want to see him string together some wins. He did tell Kathy Kelly during one of the commercial breaks, she interviewed him, and he said that he guaranteed that he will be draped in gold. I hope so. I hope he'll be draped in intercontinental gold at some point. I'd rather Chad Gable get there before him, but at some point I hope he is. Meanwhile, Dominic Mysterio and JD McDonagh, they entered Danhausen's science lab backstage. They were looking for him. They were bitching about all the money, the $100,000 that he owes, which is still hilarious to me because that segment aired on social media. It never aired on the television show. I don't believe they ever even showed it. I don't think they ever replayed it. We're just told that he stole $100,000 from the Judgment Day and they want their money back. So they couldn't find him. Dom, though, he found a giant frame. Now, from behind, it looked like a giant frame poster. It was some sort of gift. You could tell because on the back it said that it was from the New York Knicks. They had gifted something to Danhausen. We just couldn't see what it was. So Dom took Danhausen's gift, and McDonagh said, hey, we should wreck the place. Joe Hendry was back. And you know what that means? That means he gets no entrance. This is a recurring theme here on this television show when he actually shows up. He doesn't get an entrance. The entrance is like the most important part of his whole act. It's the song. And they never air it on TV. It's unbelievable. I don't understand it. Occasionally, sure, I could see that. Every single time he comes out during the commercial break, by the time they come back, maybe you hear the tail end of the song. But he's already in the ring. And that's what they did here. No televised entrance for Joe Hendry. He asked the fans if they were ready for another concert, and then he introduced the new World Tag Team Champions, the Street Profits, who made their way down to the ring. And we had, wait, what is it? Breaking New Brie Bella will be competing. Oh boy. Can't wait. Can't wait. Let's not be talking about SmackDown, though. No SmackDown spoilers in the chat. We'll save SmackDown for another time. So the Street Profits come down to the ring. And the fans tell them, you know, they deserve it. Montez Ford thanked Seth Rollins. And Angelo Dawkins backed him up on that. They thanked Seth. And then Tez said, we have to thank the man himself, though. That man being Joe Hendry. And Joe Hendry broke out into song. So I'll read you. I will not sing you. I will read you the lyrics to this song. He said, they've got new tag team champs. Everyone makes some noise. They're in Atlantic City, a celebration with all the boys. There will be no Bron Breakker, and we won't hear Logan talk. There will be no Paul Heyman because he's occupied with Brock. And that leaves Austin Theory. Austin Theory cries himself to sleep at night since John Cena destroyed him on the mic. And I'm sitting here wondering, why are we referring to something that happened 3 years ago here that led to a shitty match at WrestleMania? I don't know. Not Austin Theory's finest hour. Anyway, his terrible song, this was not his best work. His terrible song was interrupted by Austin Theory. And he said, Joe mentioned John Cena, the same John Cena that he beat at WrestleMania. Meanwhile, the Profits are jumping around celebrating. He's already talked to Adam Pearce. And next week, there is going to be a rematch for the World Tag Team Championships. Oh, joy. Dawkins asked Theory if he really wants to get the dog hurt again. Because Bron Breakker was all beat up. He was all bloody coming out of that cage match on Saturday. He wasn't there on the show tonight, by the way. Theory said that next week, the dog's going to be off the leash. And he said he appreciates Joe making his last song about him. And just like he said Cena destroyed him on the mic, he's going to destroy Joe in the ring tonight. So Hendry said, you know, we could wait until later, or they could do this right here, right now. Which usually when somebody says that, you know, it's intended to get a big reaction from the crowd. And it didn't get much of a reaction. But I mean, you know, can you blame the fans? I mean, it's a match with Austin Theory. He's the fall guy for the Vision. Everybody knows that. So not only does Joe Hendry get his entrances cut from the television show, right? His entrances take place during the commercial breaks. Apparently, that's also where his matches begin as well, because when they came back, they joined his match already in progress. So in case you were wondering where this man is slotted on the show, they're making it very, very clear to you without actually saying it. They're showing you. They're showing you where he's at. So Hendry caught Theory off a crossbody. He dumped him with a fallaway slam. Hendry then hit a discus lariat, which Michael Cole called the hit single, only for a near fall. Theory hit a neck breaker out of a vertical suplex, also for a near fall. Hendry came back with the standing ovation, the Uranagi for the win. Well, look, I mean, it wasn't much of a match, but at least he won. It could have been worse. He could have been Ethan Paged. At least he won this match here. Again, I don't understand the point of cutting his entrance every time we see him on TV. You know, we could laugh at it and have fun with it, but I genuinely don't understand why every single time that happens, because his entrance is like the biggest part of his act. That's his song. That's the song that got him over. You want the fans to sway and sing along to it when they come out, and that's fine. And I guess in the building, you would hope they would do it, but that's something that should be airing at least occasionally on television. He hasn't been on the show very often to really establish it. There are people watching Raw who don't know who the fuck this guy is. They didn't follow him in TNA. Maybe they didn't follow him in NXT. I don't know why he's just defaulted to the commercial guy here. Like, he's never going to be like the world heavyweight champion in the world heavyweight championship picture. I get that. But it just baffles me that every single time we see him, they just cut his entrance out. It's just weird to me. Anyway, backstage, Raquel Rodriguez was asking Adam Pearce why she hasn't gotten a shot at the Intercontinental title. Pearce said that she's not the only one asking for an opportunity. Maxine Dupri has asked for one. And she said, well, if Maxine has an opportunity, then I'm going to go straight through her to get her shot. And Pearce then booked Raquel against Maxine for the show tonight. Liv Morgan and Roxanne Perez walked in, and Liv didn't seem terribly upset. I thought maybe on television this week she would be upset at the two of them for not coming out to help her at Night of Champions, but she was basically her usual self. She was more concerned over Io Sky now coming after her world championship at SummerSlam and the money that Danhausen owes them. And she was more concerned about all of this than Raquel getting her Intercontinental title match. Raquel told her, look, don't worry about Danhausen. Don't worry about any of this stuff. I got your back with Io. So after the break, the queen, not Charlotte Flair, the actual queen, Io Sky, made her way out to the ring. She placed the crown upon her head, told us how, and I quote, how super duper grateful she is to come back to the U.S. as the Queen of the Ring. She says she beat Liv Morgan, and at SummerSlam, she's going to beat her again, and she will be the Women's World Champion again. Liv Morgan interrupted. She asked Io if she's proud of herself, because the way that she's bragging about beating her on Saturday, as if she did so fair and square, it's making her sick. The only reason that she won is because Liv got cursed by Danhausen. So at SummerSlam, she promises things are going to be different, because now she doesn't respect Io. Now Io has pissed her off. So she's going to remind Io what happens when she gets on Liv's bad side. She says, Finn Balor, turned on by his own group. When's the last time you saw Stephanie Vaquer around here? Exactly. And Rhea Ripley, she took everything from Rhea, and she hasn't been the same since. So at SummerSlam, she's going to absolutely destroy Io, and she's going to become the greatest women's world champion of all time. But in the meantime, Io's in for a whole lot of trouble. And all of a sudden, Raquel and Roxanne, they appeared on the apron. Io low-bridged Raquel out to the floor. She knocked Roxanne out to the floor with a punch. Liv got in the ring. She tried for oblivion, and Io was able to avoid it. She dropped her with a German suplex. Liv's on her knees now. Io kicks her right in the back of the head. Io headed up top. She was going to go for the moonsault, but Raquel cut her off, and Io fell, and she was hung upside down by her, and her knee was basically draped and trapped over the top rope. And so they all started pounding away on her injured leg that, I guess, in storyline anyway, Liv had injured it in their match at Night of Champions. She was limping when she first came out. And then they held her for Liv to hit oblivion. This got very little reaction. And then Liv applied her new finishing move, which is a half crab. And Io started tapping out. A referee got in the ring. Two agents, one of whom I noticed was old Ken Doan. Daivari might have been the other. I don't remember. But they got in the ring to get Liv off of her. Not much to say about it. I mean, look, this was the first match that they made official and set up the other night for SummerSlam, so we know what the women's world title match is going to be. If this is an indication of how they're going to be building this match, it's going to be a very long 4 or 5 weeks. Not much to this. Yeah, nothing wrong with it, but just, yeah, even the crowd wasn't terribly excited to see it. LA Knight against Jimmy Uso. LA Knight, he simply cannot quit this family every single week. If he's not talking about them, if he's not arguing with them, he's fighting them. If it's not Jimmy, it's Jay. If it's not Jay, it's Jimmy. If it's not Jacob, it's Solo. If it's not Solo, it's Jacob. It's never Roman. You ever notice that? Outside of that one time a few years ago, it's never Roman. Jey Uso wandered out there before the match. He didn't get a formal entrance, but he wandered out there before the match began. He got on headset to join Michael Cole and Corey Graves. Knight spotted him out there before the match began. So he went outside and he kind of walked over to Jey and they exchanged some words and he got back in the ring to start the match. Crowd was very quiet for most of this match, probably figuring that Jey was going to get involved at some point. Otherwise, why else is he out there? So they were just kind of waiting for it. Jimmy dumped Knight with a Samoan drop. He went for the running hip attack. Knight moved out of the way. And then Knight went for a top rope elbow. Jimmy was able to avoid it. He had a spear for a near fall. Jimmy went to the top. Knight cut him off, superplexed him. And Jimmy rolled out to the floor over by the announce desk. So Knight was over there. He made like he was going to throw Jimmy into Jey, but he stopped short. He just wanted to scare him. And he smiled. And Jey, he was flapping his gums on headset when Knight went back over and just wiped him out with a boot. I laughed at this. I'm like, good. Thank you, LA Knight. So back inside, Knight hit the top rope elbow. Jey got up on the apron. And he was basically, Knight dropped him with a right hand, but that was enough to distract him long enough for Jimmy to roll him up for the win. The always exciting distraction roll up. And that is how this match came to an end. A WWE special. After the match, Knight attacked Jimmy. Jey jumped in for the save. He double-legged Knight down to the mat. He started throwing bombs. Meanwhile, Solo Sikoa, he showed up, I guess, out of the crowd. He got up on the apron, and he spiked Jimmy in the throat again. That's what he did last week. He did it again here. And this was great, because Jey now looks up and he notices Solo on the apron. And Solo, he's smiling and he just looks at Jey and in the most like condescending, mocking way, he just goes, yeet. And then he jumps down from the apron and he bails out into the crowd. That was great. And then Knight, he dropped Jey with the BFT as he caught sight of Solo in the crowd. The second week in a row that Solo Sikoa has provided some sort of assist to LA Knight, the same LA Knight who flat out turned him down and told him no in no uncertain terms on Friday when Solo floated the possibility of the two of them basically being kind of like partners and looking out for each other. I said this in my review on Friday. Obviously, the MFTs were just, they were awful. They were awful, and I'm glad that they're splitting up. Solo Sikoa, though, what they had him doing on Friday, now that he's on his own, he's like a lone wolf now. All his family has deserted him. He's got nobody else. I am more intrigued now to see where they go with Solo Sikoa and what they do with him than I was at any point during the MFT stuff. And so he comes out and he does, it's just like the little things that he does, because he's a very personable guy. We just didn't have a chance to see it a lot because he's got to be very stoic. You know, he's like a mob boss. And we're supposed to take him seriously like a little mini Roman on Fridays. And that's not who he is. But when he's acting like a cornball and a goofball and he's out there doing stuff like this, that's where he's actually very entertaining. The stuff with him in LA Knight, I just can't imagine they end up with some sort of alliance. I'm intrigued to see where, if anywhere, this is actually like, is it leading to something concrete? Is it leading to a one-off match on television 1 week and that's it? I don't know. Knight is very confused. He's obviously very caught off guard by all this. He doesn't know what his ulterior motive is or what his true motivation is. But I, for the first time in a very long time, am genuinely curious to see where they are going to take Solo Sikoa on these shows. See? I paid him a compliment. They replayed the Gunther and Nick Aldis angle that was shot backstage after Night of Champions on Saturday. If you missed it, Gunther just walked right up to him and just was yelling at him and cussing at him, and he was very upset about being screwed over yet again out of the World Championship, and so they had to be separated. Very unprofessional of Nick Aldis to engage with this man. And so we got the update from the announcers, an official statement from WWE headquarters. Gunther and Nick Aldis have both been sent home. And while Aldis is at home, he will be under administrative leave for the foreseeable future, which means in the meantime, Adam Pearce will assume his responsibilities as the general manager of SmackDown. So for the time being, he is now the GM for both Raw and SmackDown. Good luck with that. I don't know if this means that at some point they're going to replace him and bring in somebody new, or it's just a temporary thing, because they're going to do a match at SummerSlam. Now, I mean, look, the stage is set, right? We've been down this road before with all this, where they've teased people having issues with him. They did this with Randy Orton at one point, and it was like, oh, maybe he's going to wrestle. You know, maybe he's going to actually work a match. They never took the extra step, though, to place him on administrative leave. So it feels like we're probably going to get him in the ring for the first time, and it's going to be against Gunther at SummerSlam. And if you would have told me 6 months ago, if you would have told me 5 months ago, if you would have told me 3 months ago, that the SummerSlam match that we would be looking at for Gunther at SummerSlam, who a year ago at SummerSlam was defending the World Heavyweight Championship, and then later in the year beat John Cena and then beat AJ Styles, that he would be wrestling the general manager at SummerSlam. I would have called you crazy, but you know, this is the Paul Levesque era, and anything can happen. So here we are. I guess we know what Gunther's going to be doing at SummerSlam. Look, there are worse things he could be doing, I suppose. It's the nicest thing I could say about it. Now, when he beats Nick Aldis, what do they do with him coming out of SummerSlam? See, that's the question. Because they built him up so much with the career killer stuff that it just feels like he's above feuding with those guys in the mid-card, like a Carmelo Hayes or a Trick Williams or something like that. Like, it just feels beneath him at this point. He's kind of trapped in this weird spot now where anything other than him competing for a world championship, and it doesn't feel like there's really space for him right now at the top in that realm, is going to feel like it's beneath him. It's going to feel like a letdown. I don't know. After a commercial, the Usos found Jacob Fatu in the back. They asked him, where the hell were you? And he reminded them that I don't take orders from either of you, especially Jay's punk ass. But a message from the OTC, he's sending Jacob to SmackDown to take care of the Solo Sikoa problem. Jay told him then, fine, I'll see you there, because Sami Zayn now is the WWE champion and he ain't got no challenger. I'm like, oh my God, good grief. We can't get away from this. We're still trying to make this a thing. We got a Lyra Valkyria promo video specifically, where she wondered why, and I don't think she was wearing any makeup. She looked a little bit different, where she wondered why everyone was on her back over what happened in London when she beat the crap out of Bayley. She says she spent the last year being the better person. She's not proud of what happened, but she's not losing any sleep over it either. She's carried the load and sacrificed for her success, or sacrificed her success, over and over and over again because she wanted to take Bayley with her. Everyone already knows that she could do it by herself. She was the first ever women's intercontinental champion. Now there's this huge gap between who she is and who she could be. She never wanted to hurt Bayley, but last week it felt so good to close that gap. Just a little. She's an angry bird. We're going to see how the Lyra Valkyria heel turn goes. Does she have it in her? Does she have a good heel run in her? More importantly, do they give her the opportunity to show that she can have a good heel run? I think that's the bigger question. How long do they go before this fizzles out? I hope not. I hope it works out. I think Lyra's great. In the back, live, Maxxine Dupri walked by Chad Gable, who was prepping for his match later tonight, but then she stopped. She went back to go talk to Gable and say, I meant everything I said last week. But she went to go apologize, and Gable cut her off, and he told her, look, I want you to focus on what's in front of you right now, which is your match. And she appreciated that. So it was Maxine Dupri against Raquel Rodriguez. Bird is the word. How many of you saw the movie? And see, let's see how old some of you are. How many of you saw the movie Follow That Bird? If you know what that is. It was Maxine Dupri against Raquel Rodriguez. The crowd took a vow of silence for this match. Rodriguez stretched Dupri in a torture rack. Maxine, though, was able to escape into a sunset flip attempt that was not successful, and Raquel destroyed her with a clothesline. Maxine got a near fall after a leg drop. She tried for a fisherman suplex. Raquel, though, got out of that, finished this off mercifully with a Tejana bomb. So Raquel is going to be getting that next Intercontinental title shot over Maxine, who had no business getting one in the first place. I don't give a shit if she is a former Intercontinental champion. She had that run, and then she vanished. And so she had no business being around any championships, and now she will not be. Yeah, okay, a lot of you do know Follow That Bird. It's an oldie but a goodie. God, I haven't seen that. I don't want to say how long it's been. It's been a while since I've seen that. Backstage, Danhausen found his science lab trashed and his Knicks gift was missing. As will be Mitchell Robinson from the Knicks very soon. He'll be missing. Liv Morgan showed up and told him that this is what you get. And he asked her, what did I do to you? And she said, you electrocuted JD. They stole, or he stole, $100,000 from the Judgment Day. And worst of all, he cursed her and she lost the Queen of the Ring. So he needs to find a way to make this right, or the Judgment Day is going to keep making his life hell. And that led into the best match of the night. Chad Gable one-on-one with JD McDonagh. Now you look at the talent in this match. Of course, these two guys are capable of going out there and having a kick-ass match. But again, they're slotted at a certain level, and it's tough to get the fans invested in what guys at that level are doing sometimes, because not everybody is terribly over, frankly, on these shows. Chad Gable obviously had great success doing the Americano stuff in AAA. He was this great heel. And so now they turned him babyface. He's going around doing the 12 steps, apologizing to everybody. It doesn't help. They've given him this new music that he comes out to. They gave him the clap. He's coming out. He's doing this every week. He's trying so hard to get the crowd to. It's like when Vince would tell people, like wrestlers would talk about how Vince would go to them and go, look, when you go out there, you got to smile more. You're not smiling enough. Just go out there and smile, damn it. And I could just picture, like, Vince isn't there anymore, thank God. But like Triple H or somebody is in the back telling him, look, when you go out there, just keep clapping, man. Just keep putting your hands together in the crowd. They'll come along. Like they went to a commercial break and Gable he's doing the clap. And I mean, God, bless his heart. Like he's trying. It's not working. And it doesn't help that thankfully it was during the commercial break. It didn't air on the actual show. But it doesn't help that you got Michael Cole and Corey Graves on commentary, basically poking fun at the song, calling it dad rock. Chad Gable's out there to his dad rock. Oh, yeah, that's good. That's real cool. That'll get him over. Sometimes I think like the worst thing the WWE could do is actually actively try to push somebody. Like it should just happen organically. If they get behind you and they really don't get you well enough, and they think that, well, we're going to get them over, that's like the kiss of death. Because half the time, I swear to God, these people have no fucking idea what they're doing. McDonagh. When he walked out, Dom was with him. Dom was wearing the New York Knicks jersey that the team apparently gifted to Danhausen, so it wasn't that thing, that gift I mentioned earlier. From behind, it looked like a poster, but apparently, I guess it was a framed Knicks jersey, and that's what they stole. And so Dom was wearing the jersey. McDonough, he dropped Gable down knee first onto the ring steps outside, which led to him getting the heat on Gable for a while, working over the knee. During a break in the match, the crowd finally woke up and they broke out into a light "Let's go Gable" chant, although it died out pretty quickly. There was a standing Spanish fly by McDonough that got him a near fall. Powerbomb with a stack by JD, only for a two. And then there was a brainbuster. And again, Gable kicks out. He's throwing all these moves at this guy, and nothing can keep Chad Gable down. And they were having a really physical match here. Like, it was at this point that I realized, like, all right, these guys, they're working their asses off. But the crowd just wasn't reacting to anything. Until Gable beeled him overhead. He gave him an overhead throw into the turnbuckles. Gable went for a moonsault and clearly overshot it. I mean, the spot was that on the way down, McDonough would put his boot up. And so as Gable comes down, he would grab the boot. But had he hit that moonsault, he would have been off target. But he grabbed the boot. He trapped him in an ankle lock. He was able to escape the hold, though. Dom got up on the apron to distract Gable. And McDonough hit an avalanche Spanish fly with a very scary landing. It looked like McDonough came down on top of Gable with all of his weight on it, like his head and his left shoulder on the landing. Danhausen showed up at ringside over by the timekeeper's area, and he got a briefcase with him, and he's waving at them. So Dom chased Danhausen through the crowd and out of the arena. JD is like, "Where are you going?" And Gable snuck up from behind. He went for the chaos theory, and he only got halfway through it. McDonough rolled through, but then Gable rolled back into an ankle lock and he grapevined the leg. Instant tap out from JD McDonough to give Chad Gable the win. Good for them, man. I mean, they got the crowd into it by the end and they had a good match. And I thought they worked their asses off here. It might not have been the most exciting thing for, you know, the first half. It's tough. You know, when you're out there doing this to just silence, you know what I mean? Like, because you're watching on TV and you see the first 5, 6, 7 rows and you can hear. And even if you think like, man, these guys are really, you know, they're really putting it all out there. When you see how just apathetic the crowd is to everything, it takes you out of it. And you hope that by the end of it, they could really get them. You know, they can catch them and they can get them invested in what they're doing and win them over. And I feel like they did by the end of it. Now, after the match, Dom and McDonough, they wandered over to the briefcase that Danhausen had left behind, and they opened it. It was filled with cash, but then it also, there was powder that exploded. I hope it wasn't anthrax, and it just exploded into their faces and blinded them, which allowed Danhausen to return, and he didn't grab the cash. That's what I would have grabbed. He grabbed the Knicks jersey. The jersey was more important to him than the briefcase full of cash. And he took the jersey into the ring. He held it up like a trophy. Big pop. A lot of Knicks fans, I guess, in Atlantic City. He went to go leave with it. He made it all the way to the stage, but he had his back turned. And Raquel Rodriguez comes out and ambushes him from behind, steals the jersey back, gives it to Dom, who wipes the powder from his eyes with the jersey. They're paying this angle off at Madison Square Garden. That's what they're doing. We're going to get more segments like this for a few more weeks. Whatever this is building to, my guess is it's got to involve one of the Knicks. And so if you're going to, the biggest possible get for them would be Jalen Brunson. My guess would be this is all building to a Jalen Brunson appearance at Madison Square Garden. And they're going to do some sort, not a match, but they're going to do some sort of angle. He'll be involved. And of course, at MSG, he's like a god there now. Like, it's going to get this unbelievable reaction. If they can get Jalen Brunson for an angle on that show or any kind of appearance, like, forget about it. That would be huge. So that would be my guess. That's what this is all building to. Backstage, Austin Theory walked up to Maxine Dupri, who was sitting on one of the production cases with an ice pack on her neck. And he asked her, "Why did you say what you said in the back earlier to Chad Gable?" And she said, "It's complicated." She's like a walking Facebook status. Austin says, "Well, this is simple, but if you want to go back down that road, maybe this won't work out." And he left. Tozawa and Otis then appeared. Tozawa asked, "Are you okay?" And she says, I don't know, before leaving. I tell you what, they've done a pretty poor job of establishing that there's any sort of real relationship between these two outside of some, little hints here and there. There have been a couple of segments, like that one time where she was in the passenger seat of the Vision SUV. Like, they've dropped little hints of it, but they've kind of danced around it, and they've never really come right out and said it or talked about it. So I don't know, how am I supposed to feel about this? Am I supposed to be happy? Am I supposed to be sad? I'm kind of indifferent to the whole thing, to be honest with you. I don't really give a shit either way. And to close the show, we had the World Heavyweight Champion. A real star has appeared for the first time since the opening segment. Roman Reigns, who had Jacob Fatu with him. Roman Reigns came out to Aura Farm, as he does every time he appears on this show. And he said, "Atlantic City, acknowledge me." And then we heard "Burn It Down." And out comes Seth Rollins. And Rollins is wearing his long black trench coat. Fans are singing his song. He gets into the ring. They come face to face. Chance of OTC breakout. Rollins tells him,
"I am the learning tree."
Oh, that's perfect timing. Yes.
Thanks, guys.
That is what Rollins told him. He gets in the ring and he goes, "I am the learning tree." I would have popped. I don't know about you, but I would have popped if he would have said that. And then you could just end the show. And people are left wondering, what does it all mean? Now, Rollins says, "Hello, my brother." He said, 14 years. "You and I have been tied together from this moment all the way back to the formation of the Shield. Call it fate, destiny, whatever you want, but it feels very fitting that they're here in this moment. And you are in possession of a title that belongs to me. And yes, my brother, it is time to collect." Roman said, "Collect? You must be confused. You're the back of the line. You haven't done anything of late to earn a shot at the tribal chief." Apparently, Roman Reigns is like Brock Lesnar and he doesn't watch the product. He didn't see that cage match on Saturday. Seth said that he could play that game with everybody else in that locker room, but you can't play that with me. Says, when it comes to Roman, he is always at the front of the line. For everything that Roman has become, he owns him. He owns his ass in this ring, and he has for the last 14 years. Said, WrestleMania 41, triple threat match. He pinned him in the center of the ring and took his wise man. WrestleMania 40, he sacrificed himself so that Cody Rhodes could end his reign of terror. Speaking of which, for 4 years, Roman was unstoppable. He beat everybody except for one person. Which is true. I think in that entire time that Roman was the champion, correct me if I'm wrong, I believe they had a match at the Royal Rumble 1 year. Was it 2022? I want to say it was 2022. And I think Seth won that match. I think he won by DQ or countout or something like that. He said he could walk it back to the greatest cash-in in the history of WrestleMania, where he took his main event and Roman couldn't do a damn thing about it. He has owned Roman since the day he put a steel chair in his back and ended the Shield. He's not here to ask him for anything. As a matter of fact, he's here to give him something. Something nobody else in the world can give him. Because everything that he says he is, and these people believe he is, talking about Roman now, said he is that great. He's won every championship there is to win. Roman's WrestleMania main event record will never, ever, ever be topped, which is probably true, by the way. But there is one thing in his career that Roman has not been able to do. Beat Seth Rollins. Which, nerd glasses on, he did. It was a random TV match, but technically he did beat him that one time. But when it counts, in the most important moments, he has not been able to beat Seth Rollins. He said he's here to give Roman that chance. Seth's going to be real with all of us right now. He's going to be real with Roman. This may be Roman's last chance to close that loop. The two of them, they came into this company together. They knocked down the door. They kicked the old generation to the curb. They made this place their own. They created the greatest generation in the history of this industry. They did that together. But man, they are much closer to the end than they are to the beginning, and there is a new generation of young men and women ready to do the same thing to them. This may be their last chance to do this dance. So he says, you know, what does Roman want his legacy to be? He's a surefire Hall of Famer, right? All of these accomplishments that he has to his name. But if he doesn't accept this challenge, he will never be able to escape the ghost of Seth Rollins. So what do you say, brother, for old time's sake? Roman said it's been a long time since he's heard any truth come out of Seth's mouth. Little brother. But he's right. He doesn't want to beat him. He needs to beat him. He needs his entire family to witness him beating Seth. And at SummerSlam, that's exactly what he's going to do. He accepts. Brother. Should have said it that way too. Brother. But he accepts. And he dropped the mic, held up the world championship. As Roman was in the aisleway with Jacob behind him, they're leaving. Roman's looking back at the ring, talking to the camera. And he said, SummerSlam, we close the door on the Shield forever. First of all, the promo from Seth Rollins was very good. Rollins, we saw Rollins when he was a heel, the clown, right? Coming out in a weird outfit every week, cackling like a fucking hyena. Those promos were just insufferable. And they would always start out the same way every single week. I am a revolutionary. I'm a visionary. I, you know, this and that. And I'm like, all right, shut the fuck up. When he's doing those like whiny clown promos, he's insufferable. When he's out there, though, and he's more serious, and we saw this when he was feuding with CM Punk, that's Rollins at his best on the mic. And that's what we got here. We got a very serious, very straightforward promo. It's a lot of history and a lot of bad blood between these two men. That's how it was played. He drew on all of that history. He made some very valid points about how Roman has not been able to take care of him when it comes to one-on-one in the ring when it matters. He, like I said at the beginning, he's that itch that Roman cannot scratch. He's that ghost that Roman chases but just can't catch. And so we don't know how many more opportunities these two are going to get in the ring and go one-on-one. This may be the last time that Roman can try to finally topple Seth Rollins. But the bigger point he made is that he never lost the world championship. That should have been top of mind when he first came back, but instead they had him with the vision because he wanted to get revenge. Well, he got his revenge. He won the feud. He beat Bron Breakker. Logically, the next thing for him to do would be to claim the championship that he never lost. All of that makes sense. So I thought he knocked it out of the park. I thought with the promo, Roman, of course, Roman was Roman. Roman didn't have as much material, you know, to work with. Seth did most of the talking. All Roman had to do was basically stand there and say, acknowledge me. And then at the end of it, say, I accept. And that's it. And the people chant OTC and everybody goes home. But I thought Seth did a great job here. I just, a lot of history to draw from with these two. I just wish that we were getting a different match. I do wish we were getting Roman and Oba. Maybe that could be the plan for WrestleMania next year. WrestleMania is a long way away. A lot can change. Look at all the WrestleMania plans and rumors we had coming into this year. It's going to change 25 times between now and then. I don't know. I don't know what it's going to be. It's Saudi Mania. Hopefully Roman and Oba, since we're not getting it at SummerSlam, which I was excited to see. I'm less excited about Roman and Seth by comparison, but, you know, again, it'll be a fine match. It just feels to me like it's someone for Roman to go in there and beat. I don't feel that, oh, Seth Rollins is going to beat Roman Reigns. If it was Roman and Oba, Oba would have a chance at least to beat Roman and become the champion. I don't feel like that there's even a real possibility of that here. You know, it's someone for Roman to go in there and beat. He could say he finally, you know, he got this man off his back once and for all and moves on to whatever the next challenge is going to be. We don't even know if Roman is going to be around much after SummerSlam. You know, originally he said, you got me for the summer. Technically, the summer goes until like the third week in September. We may have Roman until, you know, WrestlePalooza, assuming we get another WrestlePalooza. And then after that, who the hell knows? It goes dark for a few months. I just wish that if we were going to do this, they went about it a different way. You know, they did it at the expense of the King of the Ring. They made the King of the Ring feel pretty pointless this year. I don't like that. I don't like the path that they chose to get here. I think they made things unnecessarily complicated, and it didn't need to be. And this is where we are now. We're getting the matches that I think a lot of us would have expected that we would be getting. Brock Lesnar, Obafemi, Hell in a Cell. Hell of a way to blow off what has been a fun feud. I mean, if you look at their first two matches, the second match, even better than the first. A little bit longer, 2 minutes longer. I certainly hope we don't get a six-minute Hell in a Cell match. You know, you're putting these two guys in the cell. You got to give them some time. So my hope and expectation is that it's SummerSlam, and especially if this were to end up being Brock's final match, you know, they go all out and they give them the time they need to go out there and put together what would be deserving of a blow-off match. You know, I mean, we just saw blood in the steel cage match with Breaker and Rollins on Saturday. I would expect to see something like that in a Hell in a Cell match between these two. Like, that's the kind of match, if you're going to do it, that's the kind of match I'm hoping to see out of them. And then Oba can vanquish him once and for all and move on. And I don't know, coming out of that, what the next step would be for Oba. Maybe Oba's like, okay, I'm ready. I'm ready for my title match. And if they got WrestlePalooza coming back in September, and remember Mark Shapiro last year said he wants to make this a big event, like a big tent pole event for them every single year. Who the fuck knows? Who's to say they don't do Roman and Oba at WrestlePalooza? And that is Roman's last match for a while. And he drops the championship to him, right? I mean, it sounds kind of crazy coming off a big show like SummerSlam not to do it there, but who's to say? If they really want to build WrestlePalooza up as this big deal, maybe that's what we're looking at. But they took some big steps to shake things up going into SummerSlam here. We got two big matches. We'll see if we get more announced on SmackDown this week in terms of what they're doing with the other championship. I said earlier, that's a little less predictable, and that's good. That's good. It'll get people talking, right, about the different paths they can take. CM Punk is going to be coming back soon. Where does he fit into that picture? I find myself a little more excited, actually, about the SmackDown title scene and what they're going to do with that at SummerSlam. So we'll see, but that was Raw from Atlantic City a little bit earlier than usual tonight because SmackDown is a taped show. Tape show on Friday. Hey, we hit the bonus goal. That's great to see. That guarantees at least one round of Be the Booker. Where are we on the likes goal? Oh, we're close. We're close. The likes goal was 600. See, the wheel said 600. We're at 586. We may be getting double Be the Booker tonight. We might just be getting double Be the Booker. Well, you guys work on that, and I'm going to work on these here. I'm going to go through your messages. This week's episode is sponsored by Wix. Listen up. If you run your own business, big or small, doesn't really matter, you probably have a website. And if you don't, it might be a good idea to have one. It's the first place that people are going to find you, and you want to make a good first impression. That's why you need Wix Harmony. You don't even need to be a website expert to be able to create a site that reflects your vision and keeps people coming back for more. Wix Harmony is an AI website builder that allows you to get your website up fast, but not by cutting corners or taking shortcuts. You can create exactly the website you've always dreamed of in your mind. Wix's AI capability is the real secret sauce here, but even with AI, you still have the ability to go hands-on and customize your website right down to the most minute of details. Aria is your personal AI agent, and she's there to help answer your questions and get important things done. You have the power to click anywhere on your site and ask her to make changes instead of wasting time entering prompts. Who wants to spend time doing that? Then you can move things around and you can perfect your site the way that you want it to be. Do yourself a favor and join the more than 280 million businesses around the world that already use Wix. Try it yourself right now, and you'll see what it can really do for you and your business. Just go to wix.com/harmony. That's wix.com/harmony. Deathside says, looking back, they should have had John Cena retire Goldberg, LA Knight retire John Cena, and CM Punk retire AJ Styles, because I'm starting to think having Gunther retire them was a mistake. You think? Aaron, they pretty much made King of the Ring pointless with Oba saying he's foregoing his title match. It's like WWE booked themselves in a corner and had to find a way out. That's exactly what they did. And it didn't have to be that way. They overcomplicated it for no reason. Deathside says, what if they do Brock and Oba at Saturday night's main event and get this feud out of the way so that Oba can move on to bigger and better things? This is not a feud that they want to get out of the way. This is going to be a big attraction that will sell tickets for them on a stadium show that is being spread out over two nights and could use the boost in ticket sales. That's number one. Number two, Brock ain't working Saturday night's main event. That's why. He says that way they could do Brock and Gunther at SummerSlam. Yeah, that's not happening. That was never happening. Now we know it's not happening, but that was never happening. Deathside says, but then again, WWE is allergic to common sense. Feels like it. The Gary Sphere with a 10 spot. The internet would have been calling it the worst creative ever if Ospreay gave up his title shot to wrestle someone he's already beaten. But yippee. Instead, we get another finisher spam match, but with a cage. Well, it might be finisher spam, but I will say the matches they've had so far have been pretty exciting. I don't mind them doing one more match, blowing it off in the cell. I think it'll be really good. It's just, it's not, again, how we arrived at this point and what they did with the title shot and all that. I'm not a fan of that. Deathside says, if they're going to continue this depressing storyline with Johnny Gargano, can they at least have him do those Tim White skits? This is not 2006 anymore. It was pretty tasteless and tacky even 20 years ago, although I laughed my ass off at them, but you wouldn't be able to get away with that today. TB with a 10 says, I don't know what it is about Liv, but ever since she came back from her injury earlier this year, she has had go-away heat with me. She's annoying. Keep up the good work. What? She's supposed to be a heel. Every time she comes out and she says she's the greatest women's champion of all time, and she just, you know, drags it out as long as she possibly can, like nails on a chalkboard. It's because she's a heel. That means she's doing her job. Deathscythe says, I have a horror video game recommendation for everyone. It's called Psycho... Oh, I thought that said Psycho Dad. Well, Married with Children reference. I would totally play Psycho Dad if they made a Psycho Dad game. Oh, I would play the shit out of that. Psycho Dead. The demo is out now. It's basically what happens when you mix Lucy from Elfenlied and the Necromorphs from Dead Space. I've played Dead Space. I don't know what Elfenlied is. Psycho Dead, though. I may have to check that out. Is that a mobile game only, or is it a Steam game? Nico Samuel says, Solomonster, what the fuck? I just woke up a few minutes ago and I see Oba gave up his King of the Ring title opportunity to face Brock. I'm shocked, but I am intrigued. And how long does Sammy hold the WWE title? In my humble opinion and wishful thinking, he holds it until October. I mean, the way the WWE does things, he'll be lucky to make it out of the week with the championship. He'll be lucky to make it out of tonight with the championship, or next week at the latest. So I don't know. I mean, if he doesn't lose it, you know, like in the next couple of weeks or something stupid like that, at least SummerSlam. I mean, why not? Just keep it on him. Let him run with it until SummerSlam at least. There's no need to take it from him before then. GMB says, meh. Oba Roman better than Shield lore in 2026. Look, I don't disagree with you that we're still doing Roman and Seth fucking 14 years later. It's a great promo tonight, but you're not wrong. We're still doing Roman Reigns and Seth Rollins in 2026. Like, what the fuck are we doing here? Carlos Galvan, get ready for the Shield chair. Nico says, Solo, whenever Naomi comes back, would you want to see her as a face or a heel? Got to be a heel. She was such a great heel that she was finally getting into, like, she finally found her voice with that character, that heel persona, and then she had to go away. I hope she can pick back up with him when she comes back. Barry MK says, SummerSlam is two nights. Why can't Oba have the title match on one night and the cell match on the other? This is so stupid. Lost but found says, King of the Ring lasted 2 years for a title shot. LOL, a record. Yeah. Rest in peace to the King of the Ring stipulation. Sidro with a five gave the rest of my pastry to pigeons. Says, guess I filled two birds with one scone.
You suck.
An adjective for metal is metallic, but not so for iron, which is ironic. It's true. Never really thought about that, but he's not wrong. Misfit Wrestling Podcast with a 10. Not putting any spoilers here, but I read the spoilers, and it's not looking good for Sami Zayn. Well, there you go. I'm not surprised. They're going to take this fucking belt from him, aren't they? Very, 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 very imminently, I feel like. Remember Christian? Remember when Christian won the World Heavyweight Championship from Alberto Del Dipshit in that ladder match? And then literally that, not even that Friday, I mean, they taped SmackDown at that time. So it would have been 48 hours later at the SmackDown taping, he lost it to Randy Orton. And the rage and fury coming out of that. At least they went on to have an entertaining feud. But man, there were a lot of pissed off people. When that happened, are they going to Christian Sami Zayn? Is that what they're going to do? Sidro, police stopped me and said, papers. I said, scissors. I win. And I left. Think he wants a rematch. He's been chasing me for 45 minutes. Glad you like my new beat. I like all your beats. He's very talented. You got to show your face a little more often, my friend. Philly Harden with a $4.99 says, have you read or heard of the Titan Book Trilogy? Covers 1995 to 98 WWF. Listened on Audible. Have to recommend. Made me a Brett Mark. Oh, there's Jalen Brunson. We'll all be doing the Jalen Brunson dance on July 18th at Madison Square Garden. Says 97 was Brett's best year. I have not heard of the Titan Book Trilogy. I don't know who authored it. I may have to look into that, but no, I've not heard of it. 97 was a huge year for Brett. 97, obviously, he had one of the greatest matches of all time in WrestleMania with Steve Austin, arguably the greatest match from WrestleMania history, and then formed the Hart Foundation. Had a great SummerSlam main event with The Undertaker. Great finish to that match. Won the championship for a fifth time. And then obviously everything happened with Montreal. So yeah, 97 was a huge year for Brett. I'm a little partial to, like, as far as, like, I don't know, just like in ring and like his peak. I feel like physical peak. 94. I might have to say 94 Brett, but 97 Brett was phenomenal. It's just too bad he was injured for part of it. He had that that knee injury. I have like a knee scope.
I am the learning tree.
And the tree is back.
Thanks, guys. guys.
The tree is back. The trees, they're sprouting up all around me. It's turning into a forest. I can't see the forest from the trees. Sidro says, cop, why didn't you report your stolen credit card? Man says, the thief was spending less than my wife. Cop says, so? Why are you reporting now? Man says, I think the thief got married. And this guy's just, he's just full of jokes. Oh, that's right. The 10-man tag in Calgary, too. Yeah, 97 was a special year for Brett. Imagine in that year, man, you have that match with Austin at WrestleMania, and then you're part of that 10-man tag in Calgary. Both in the same year. Prince Vegeta, after seeing his match on Saturday, no one is more over the top of kicking out of finishers than Rollins. He's worse than Reigns and Cody. Like him kicking out of the top rope crossroads in October. Yeah, I mean, he's hardly the only, you know, offending party, though, when it comes to that stuff. I just saw a match less than 24 hours ago that would qualify. That kind of irked me. The Oofman with a 5. Oba will win the title at the PLE that TKO loves so much. Wrestlepalooza. I'm telling you, man, the more I think about this, especially if Roman is sticking around through the summer, I would not put it past them to have Oba go for the championship in September at Wrestlepalooza. Because you know they're going to bring back Wrestlepalooza. That's like their new baby. They want Wrestlepalooza to become basically what Money in the Bank has become over the years. I would argue that, at least for a while there, Money in the Bank really supplanted Survivor Series as like the Big Five or the Big Four. Big Four. Nick Grasso with a 1999. After tonight, I could see Roxanne costing Liv her match at SummerSlam, just like Liv, Dom, and Balor did to Rhea and Priest 2 years ago. Also, did you watch the entire Great American Bash event? Because Tatum and Zarya was great too. I've not watched the entire thing yet. I wanted to see the Kendall Gray match. I've watched that. I have not watched the other stuff yet. Hopefully I'll be able to get to that. And yes, I could see... Look, they've been teasing some sort of blow-up with Roxanne and Liv now for a while. It's going to happen. It's just a matter of where. If Liv is losing her championship on that show, then that would make sense for it to happen there. And that could be sort of the beginning of the end between Liv and Roxanne. Deathsite says, the biggest wasted opportunity in horror was not having Jamie Lloyd as the killer after Halloween 4. I agree, man. There was a lot of potential there for that Danielle Harris character, that little girl. The way they ended part 4 for her to be the new killer in part 5. And they chickened out. They chickened out. Tonester. Good Gunther doesn't deserve... Oh, he says, good. Gunther doesn't deserve the top. Tap to Jay. Man, one tap out to Jey Uso, and that's it. This man is ruined. He is branded for life. Lost but found. What if the Royal Rumble winner gets hurt and comes back 2 weeks before WrestleMania and wants his title shot back? Well, then I guess we would suddenly have a triple threat match. That would be my guess. Death Scythe says, what if it ends up being Cody, Punk, Sammy, Orton at SummerSlam? Because it does 4 things. It gives Sammy a brief run with the belt. It gives Randy number 15. It gives us a taste of Punk and Cody for WrestleMania 42. And it keeps Punk and Cody in the chase. I don't think Orton factors into this at all. I get the impression that he is hurt. I don't really see him factoring into this at this point. It's lost a lot of steam. All the interest I had in seeing Cody and Randy, they were very successful in diminishing my enthusiasm for it with that WrestleMania fiasco this year. You know, I know the way they left it. Cody got punted in the head so they can always come back to it, but I don't see it. I just don't. And I certainly wouldn't want them to use a four-way as a way to put the belt on Randy Orton. I would see that more as a way for Sammy to sort of eke out a win if they did that. Brody with a 1999. Okay, Brody coming in with the orange super chat. Here for another live stream. Don't get to do these often, but I always listen to the next day. Thanks for being a great distraction in life. Also, if HOG comes to Maryland, I want to buy you a beer as a thanks for everything you do. Well, if we ever come to Maryland, I may take you up on that. Nothing on the calendar just yet, but I'm sure we'll venture over there at some point. Hopefully you'll be there when we do. Thank you, Brody. Rakish. It's like when Jim Ross used to call Rikishi when he first debuted with the Rikishi gimmick. He was Rakishi. That's what he called him. Rakishi. Rakish says, what's up? I still think O believes SummerSlam with a title. Cody and Sammy go to war. Sammy survives. And then O cashes in his opportunity a la Batista Cena 2010. Who knows? He might even have an advocate by his side. That's a very creative scenario that you've laid out there that absolutely 100% will not happen. As I recall, the Cena Batista thing had to do with Batista being in Vince McMahon's pocket. So that was a very different situation. And Oba with Heyman. I mean, I suppose if he beats Brock and Brock really does retire, then it's possible, but just seems completely unnecessary. It's just not needed. Oba doesn't need Heyman. Johnny Bernie, Jay loses King of the Ring, but gets Sammy before Oba. Yeah, I said, like, as soon as he said those words, it's like, I'm going to SmackDown. He needs a challenger. I'm like, fuck out of here, man. Get the fuck out of here with this nonsense. Prince Vegeta, we are definitely regressing back ever since Mania. Braun gets beat. Jacob gets beat. Oba throws his title shot away. Welcome back, 2016. Yeah, it's not good. I mean, when you have all of these guys that are just losing, and not just losing once, but losing multiple times to the same person. I had even forgotten about Jacob. Jacob got beaten both matches by Roman last month. It's terrible. But these guys, in the end, when all is said and done, they're going to come out okay on the other side. I believe that. I have to believe that. They're too talented not to. Mind you, Punk didn't need Paul Heyman either. Yeah, I mean, look, if MJF were to ever come to WWE, does he need Paul Heyman? No, but you got to put Paul Heyman with MJF. I mean, you talk about a natural combo. Come on, man. If MJF ever comes to WWE, and if it's in like the next few years, MJF and Heyman is a gimme. It's a gimme. So yeah, there are certain people who you could say, well, this guy doesn't need Heyman. They don't need a manager. Right now, at the moment, Oba doesn't need anybody else. Oba's fine on his own. Down the road, who knows? Right now, he doesn't need him. Jeremy says, imagine Raw next week in Chicago. CM Punk returns out of the crowd. Jack Perry attacks him. Do you think it's possible Punk would why would Jack Perry be there? Jack Perry is not going anywhere. Jack Perry still has not signed a new deal with AEW, but Jack Perry is not leaving AEW. They're going to work it out if they haven't already. He's not going anywhere. I know there were some rumors about that. He's not going to WWE. Heyman can be MJF's rabbi. It's true. I mean, you know, he likes to come up with a different descriptive term depending on like who the person is. So like for Brock, he was Brock's advocate. For Roman, he was his wise man. He's been the oracle, right? The oracle for Seth Rollins. So what would he be for MJF? He'd have to come up with a totally new name. Would he be his rabbi? I don't know. Aaron says, wonder if the Oba title shot will be one of those things Triple H will forget or drop, or hope the fans forget, and he'll just win the Royal Rumble for a WrestleMania match. Probably. That would be a very WWE thing to do. Sure. We got Death Scythe. If they are going to do War Games at Survivor Series, why not do the Bloodline against the Judgment Day? Because it's the only thing they haven't done yet with these two groups. Have you seen the state of the Judgment Day lately? It's mostly a women's faction. And the Bloodline has no women. What are you going to do in a War Games match? You're going to have Roman Reigns, Jacob Fatu, and the Usos against Dominic Mysterio and JD McDonagh? Boy, that's going to be a terrible fucking War Games match. I don't want to see that. Nobody wants to see that. Come on, man. If you wanted to see the Bloodline in the Judgment Day, then you do it when the group was at its full strength, which it hasn't been in a very long time. They missed the boat. That ship has sailed. The Judgment Day is dead. Arabian Knight. So, during a break, did Ray challenge Penta at SummerSlam? If this happens, instead of Gable, then Triple H needs to be axed ASAP. I don't think so. Unless I stepped away and I missed it. I think I did see that promo. I don't think he challenged him for SummerSlam. God, I hope not. Not over Gable. Deathside says, what would happen if Danhausen tried to curse either Roman Reigns or Brock Lesnar? Nothing. Their aura is too powerful for the Danhausen curse to work. The Danhausen curse only works on, you know, people like a Matt Cardona or a JD McDonagh or a Kit Wilson or The Miz. It doesn't work on Roman Reigns. Ron Talks Tabletop, $10 super chat, just showing some support. Ron, I appreciate that. That's very cool. Thank you. You guys are showing up tonight. I appreciate that a lot. June was a very weird month. I'm kind of glad it's over, honestly. Deathside says, watched Psycho 3 last night. The phone booth scene was a lot more violent than the shower scene. Nothing worse than being stuck in a small space, being stabbed, and standing on broken glass barefoot. And yet, that, watching 3 hours of SmackDown, it's a coin toss. Brian Finelli, bonus goal. I think Brian was the one who put us over the top. Thank you, Brian. I think Brian helped get us there. Base Beerus says, Femi is Oba rated. Just joking. You better be. Misfit Wrestling Podcast, I'll say this. By next week's Raw, you'll know what the WWE Championship match for SummerSlam is. Okay. Well, we'll find out soon enough. Asylum Nutcase. Solo, would you rather watch a very good match with a dead crowd or a bad match with a loud electric crowd? I would rather watch a bad match with a loud electric crowd. Especially because that bad match would probably give me a lot of really good material to work with. But it might actually still be fun to see if you have a really loud, energetic crowd. So, as weird as that is to say, I feel like That is what I would rather see. Let's refresh here and get all the latest ones in here. And then we got a couple of Be the Bookers to do. We do. Paul Carpenter, when is your AEW review? Tomorrow. The Uncrowned Wrestling Podcast. I will have full thoughts on Forbidden Door. Audio only. Pseudo TPK, I spilled spot remover on my dog, and now he's gone. Base Beerus, I use Be the Booker emoji when Sammy hits the blue thunderbomb. It's a great move, man. It's a great move. Blue thunderbomb, Ricky Sosa and TNA has the blue thunder bang. It's a great move. Death Scythe. And Death Scythe is, he's on one tonight. P.S. I mentioned Elfin lied a while ago on the stream when I said Randy Orton must have watched the anime in the late 2000s, and he looked at Lucy and said to himself, that's my gimmick going forward. I've heard of Elden Ring. I've never heard of Elfin lied. I'm sure you mentioned it before. I've never played it before. I'm not familiar with what it is as far as like the story, the characters. I have no idea. Is it about someone named Elfin who lied? And I'm being very simplistic here with the explanation. TGN. Oba should have done double duty at SummerSlam. Could have done something unprecedented. Postponing his title shot for Roman versus Seth, I found safe and lame. Well, safe and lame is the slogan of Triple H's WWE most of the time, so no one should be surprised. Misfit Wrestling Podcast. Remember Rey versus Cena in 2011. Just keep that in mind for the next few days. I'd put nothing past these people. I said Christian, man. This used the Christian example from 2011. Same year, funny enough. They pulled that shit twice in the same fucking year. Terrible. The Seanathon says, when I hear people say Jay should challenge Sammy for the championship, I think of that scene from Ricky Bobby. Don't you put that evil on me. Base Beer says, no yeet. And Mike with a $10 super chat. I just want Brock to be done for good. Cena is retired. Batista is retired. Sheldon is in a tag team in AEW. And Randy is hurt. Let's officially start the new generation after SummerSlam. Oh, the new generation. Like a Razor and Diesel. Goldust. And the Undertaker. The only new generation I know. Death Scythe says, I'm glad Vince McMahon is no longer in WWE because can you imagine him yeeting with Jey Uso? I don't want to think about that. Linkmaster says, Batista versus Big Show. Bad match, electric crowd. That's a great example. Batista and Big Show at the Hammerstein Ballroom was a fucking disaster. But it was so funny to watch. And of course, that crowd there was very vocal. It's one of those matches you can't turn away from. It's definitely not boring. And Money 5, just watched King of the Ring 1998 yesterday and the Raw the night after earlier today. As someone turning 25 next month, I wish I was alive to witness it. I'm glad I was alive to watch all of that stuff as it was happening. And I wasn't at those shows specifically. I want to say that WrestleMania. I want to say that King of the Ring was in Pittsburgh. Right? And then Raw the next night was in Cleveland. So I wasn't there, but dude, like I went to so many Raws from that time period, like 98 and then 99. And it was, it just like, I can't even describe it. Like it was, especially at that age, It was like a party, you know? And it was just, a lot of it was also the demographics. So if you go back and you watch those shows, you see signs everywhere. And you look at the crowd and you see a lot of teenagers and college-age kids. And so those are the ones that are getting drunk and rowdy, and they're there to scream and act like idiots and just have a good time. And I don't know, it was just this perfect blend of characters, and you had Austin and DX and The Rock and The Nation and Undertaker and Kane and The Outlaws, and everybody was over. It was just this perfect storm. Like, you get better wrestling, like in-ring wrestling, move for move now than you did back then, especially on weekly television. But it was just a different time, you know, and everything. It was different. It was different. But as somebody who was there for a lot of it, I can vouch. It was a lot of fun. And those were also the days where it didn't cost you $350 to go to the show, unless you were sitting in the front row or something. You could afford to go to the shows back then. Alexander, thank you with a $9.99. You know what? Jay should wrestle Sammy for the title. I'm all for it. So long as the stipulation is that he no longer is allowed to challenge for any championship, as long as he draws breath if he loses. I still don't want to see it. How's that for an answer? All right, you guys hit the main goal. Main goal was 600. Yep, 600 likes. We are currently sitting at almost 700. And then we get the bonus as well. So here we go. Let's be the booker.
Ladies and gentlemen, it is now time to be the booker.
Gas was under $1 a gallon, was it? I don't know if it was. It was definitely cheaper than it is now. Back in my day. All right, tag team, be the booker. Love me some tag team wrestling. That's how you know I'm not Paul Levesque. Here we go. Speaking of Paul Levesque, say his name and he appears. He's on my screen. Triple H and Stone Cold Steve Austin, the two-man power trip. They had all the gold. Nobody can stop the two-man power trip. I don't care who ends up being booked here as their opponent. And it definitely ain't these two guys, the Killer Bees. But I will tell you what, Brian Blair and Jim Brunzel against Steve Austin and Triple H would actually be a pretty good wrestling match. They're going to get murdered, but it would be a good wrestling match. So I have to give that the bell. I have to. All right, women's be the booker. We have the Princess of Staten Island. God, I forgot all about her. Carmella. Do you all want Carmella to return to WWE? I don't see anybody asking for the return of Carmella. They're asking, when is Asuka going to be back? When is Naomi going to be back? I don't see anybody asking about, where's Carmella? When's Carmella going to be back? Carmella is going to be taking on Harley Cameron. I do love Harley Cameron. I'm not in love with that match, though. There will be no clean sweep in round number one, but all is not lost. We have a main event here to book. Oh, it's one of my favorites, and I know it's a favorite of yours. It is Vato Sting. There have been many incarnations of Sting over the years. Crow Sting, Surfer Sting. What was the team with him in the Warrior? Blade Runner Sting, Joker Sting, Big Grandpa Sting in AEW. But never forget Vato Sting. Without face paint, this guy right here, you do not fuck with this guy. He'll cut you. Look at him. Look at him. I am not buzzing Vato Sting. He'll be taking on the Jet, Kevin Knight. 2 for 3. Not bad. Not bad. And because of you guys, we get an extra round where we may yet be able to get the sweep. I feel like we haven't had the bonus round in a while. Bikers thing in Walker, Texas Ranger. Was that a thing? I must have missed that. Did he play a biker on that show? First Blood. Of course, Moxley is in this image. First Blood match. Usually we do a tag. First Blood tag? Yeah, we'll do a First Blood tag team match. We could do that. All right, First Blood tag team match. We have got the Wolves, the American Wolves. Davey Richards and Eddie Edwards. Eddie Edwards is still going. Eddie Edwards just wrestled Moose. It's Slammiversary last night. First Blood with the Wolves against who? Against the Ultimate Maniacs, Macho Man Randy Savage, and the Ultimate Warrior. I don't recall the Ultimate Warrior ever bleeding. I don't recall him ever blading at any point in his career. Am I just completely blanking? Did he bleed at some point and I'm just not remembering? That would be a very interesting match. And of course, the Wolves are not winning this. I can tell you that right now. Texas Death Mouth Boy. We're going from First Blood to Texas Death. Oh my God. Oh my God. I was going to do a women's match, but I mean, I guess we can. A women's Texas Death Match? Okay. He bleeds power, says Sheboygan. Yes, that and anabolic steroids. They seep out of his sweat pores. He sweats that stuff out. This is a Texas death match, everybody. I hope we get some tough ladies here. That's not exactly what I was expecting. The first image is the fucking butterfly belt. We didn't have any women's Texas death matches in the Divas era. But we do have Michelle McCool. This is not good for Michelle McCool. This is not the kind of match Michelle McCool wants to be in. This is not good. Michelle McCool and Trish Stratus in a Texas death match. I'll give it for Trish. I'll give it for Trish. I kind of want to see what that would look like, honestly. Okay. You guys get one more match. We got to make it a good one. It's going to be, man, B the Booker is just in some sick, sadistic mood tonight. We went from First Blood to Texas Death to Monsters Ball. What the fuck? B the Booker has been watching some horror movies lately. I think too many horror movies. I think he's mad that we haven't done the bonus round in a while. That's why. He's very upset. Monsters Ball. Here we go. The Big Boss Man. Big Boss Man was a good hardcore champion. Let me tell you something. Big Boss Man, he took a pitcher. I assume it was glass, maybe sugar glass. I don't know, whatever kind of glass it was. It doesn't matter. There was a pitcher of, water. I don't think it was a candy dish. I think it was an actual pitcher of water that was on the announce desk one night. He was having a hardcore match with Bob Holly. And Bob Holly, I'll never forget this as long as I live. I wish I remember what episode it was. Bob Holly, he reached over and he grabbed that pitcher and he fucking smashed it into Boss Man's face, right in his eye, and it shattered. And I think, of course, Boss Man, I think, was bleeding, and it was terrible. It was awful. It sounded awful. It looked awful. You couldn't pay me enough money to do that. So, the Boss Man is hardcore. Don't you doubt that for a second. Oh my God. Poor Boss Man. Big Boss Man against New Jack in a Monsters Ball. I see, now I feel bad now for the Boss Man. Even the hardcore Boss Man of 99 is no match for New Jack. This is not going to end well for the Big Boss Man. And of all people for New Jack to be in the ring with, a corrections officer from Cobb County. I don't think he's going to let Boss Man get out of there alive. Can you imagine the New Jack from Smoky Mountain Wrestling cutting promos on the white Southern corrections officer from Cobb County, Georgia? They would be thrown off the air for those promos. The show would be canceled. Chicago for MBK. Thank you, brother, for the $2. I hope you're doing well. Aaron with a $4.99. What would you think of Roman Reigns winning clean at SummerSlam and then him and Seth shake hands, finally burying the hatchet and closing the Shield story? I think that sounds very boring. Just being honest. I mean, they're going to close this story either way, but that just sounds boring to me. I would hope they can come up with something a little more exciting. Oh, it was a clean sweep? Damn it. Hold on. There you go. You got your sound effect. I forgot it was a clean sweep. There's your Sonic. You got your Sonic. You happy? Super Pony, if Sammy drops the title before SummerSlam, what does he do at SummerSlam? Would be brutal if they take the belt off him and leave him off the show. He's not going to be off the show. If he was to have the championship taken from him before SummerSlam, unless he was back in the title match on that show, I could see him and CM Punk having an undercard match. Mike says, Texas Deathmatch between Solo Monster and Michael Cole. Do you think you could take him solo? I know I could. I've seen him wrestle before. I know I could take him. And Deathscythe, my advice is watch Elfin Lied. Elfin Lied when you have time. You're either going to really like it or really hate it. But we can all agree Lucy is fucking badass and could easily be the wife of Jason Voorhees. Now you say watch Elfin Lied. You make it sound like it's a movie. Is it a game or a movie? What was my favorite Sonic game? Probably the original. But the second one is actually really good. Whichever one had that Casino Zone level. Oh, it's an anime. Okay. I thought it was a video game. It's an anime. Oh, it's pronounced Lead. Elfin Lead. Oh, man. Then it should be spelled that way. Elfin Lied is a dark anime. Oh, dark anime. Is it like Aeon Flux? Hey, Reekinson. 55 months of channel membership. Vatos Thing will avenge Darby for night turning heel. P.S. Did you see that Soto error inside the park homer earlier? It's okay, my Yankees are sucking bad, right? I have no idea anything that's happened today with the Mets. So this is the first I'm hearing of it. Mike says, sent you another super chat solo. I could see. Thank you, Mike. It's a whole bunch of them tonight. Navy 4181 says, change the money in the bank PLE to human monies in the bank. My God, can you imagine they have Danhausen win money in the bank? And then he walks around all year with a briefcase? And Death Scythe, there are 13 episodes. That's a very unlucky number. 13 episodes of Elfin Lied. It's German. Oh, the Germans know how to produce good television. There's a German show called Dark on Netflix. It's only 3 seasons, but very, very good. Fucked up. It's like this, like time travel involved. It's an interesting concept, but it's a really, really good show. Anyway, I think I'm all caught up here. Thank you guys. This has been a fun night. Fun stream coming off Night of Champions, the Raw after. We have the SmackDown after, which has already been taped, but we'll be doing our usual stream on Friday nonetheless. And tomorrow we have a brand new episode of the Uncrowned Wrestling Show. That is where I will have my full thoughts and review on Forbidden Door. And we'll talk about all the WWE fallout. Talk a little bit of TNA as well, coming out of Slammiversary. So that's on Uncrowned tomorrow. Keep your eyes peeled for that. Tomorrow night over on JD's channel. Tuesday night, Titans. And then Wednesday is kind of a big dynamite because we have MJF defending the world championship against Mark Briscoe. And we're going to crown a new TBS champion because we have the 6-way women's survival of the fittest match, which is elimination style. So we're guaranteed to crown a new champion. So that will be very interesting to see who winds up with that championship. But yeah, the Uncrowned show, remember, you can get the show. It's on the Ariel Helwani Show podcast feed, but there's also a dedicated feed for it. So on Apple and Spotify, if you go in there and type in the Uncrowned Wrestling Show, there's actually a feed just for that. If you want to filter out like all the MMA stuff, because Ariel has a bunch of other shows as well. Either way, subscribe there when a new episode drops, which tomorrow, I get it to them earlier in the day, but by the time it's processed and they post it and everything, it's usually 6 or 7 in the evening. So that's probably when you should just keep your eyes peeled for it. But anyway, so that'll be tomorrow, and then all the rest of the usual streams during the week. That's all I got for you. So be well. Stay safe. Brian says, I'll be listening in the hot tub with a margarita. That's the way to do it. I wouldn't have the margarita. I'd have something else. In the hot tub with a margarita in one arm and a beautiful woman in the other. That's the best way to listen to The Sound Of. I will see you guys tomorrow for more content and back here on the YouTube channel on Wednesday. Until then, take care, guys.